This is question about association with devotees. So sometimes you can feel that maybe you don't want to enjoy in gross way, but in association you may enjoy in the subtle way. You can see it in association with younger devotees, and like somebody can enjoy in the process of association. So, and also it may happen with the senior devotees. And the question is how to be in the mood of service during the association with different types of devotees, and how to recognize that you are not in the seva mood.
He said when you're associating with devotees of equal rank, they're equally advanced as you are, or even seniors or even juniors, you said, which is all three category. Sometimes the atmosphere becomes light and appears that you're just joking. So how do you know when you've crossed the border of being Krishna conscious and being in Maya? Where do you draw the line where light, casual, friendly, humorous talks are actually Krishna conscious, or they're not Krishna conscious? And you mentioned the name, you mentioned the term, a mood of seva. Your mood of seva gets diluted. I never really heard this term so much before, mood of seva, although that's part of the whole meaning of what is bhakti, of course, is seva. But I think the higher criterion is that devotees, it says in the Bhagavatam, satam prasangam mamavirya samvido. This famous verse, and often quoted by different acharyas. And this is a point of reference. If you're a student, I'm also a student, and you're studying, I thought to do this, and I've done it to some extent. But if we want to know what are the most important, there's 18,000 verses, what are the most important verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam for bhakti bhajan as a Gaudiya Vaishnava? In other words, verses that are related to sambandha, avideya, and prayojanam. So the Bhagavatam, of course, says verses about all these things when you take into consideration 11th and 12th canto, especially 11th canto. Many instructional verses there about the basis and foundation of Krishna consciousness, the relationship, sambandha, and the practice. So that's, you can, if you want to, because I went through one time and tried to find which verses were, first of all, any verse, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm answering your question, it's just a side point. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the summary of all the books of the Goswamis. So there's a little bit of Raghunuga Bhakti in there, there's a little bit of Sadhana Bhakti, there's Rasa Tattva, there's Prema Tattva, there's Leela, you know, all everything, Rasa Leela, everything is there. Lord Chaitanya is experiencing Rasa Leela and Man and Union and all these things, and Darshan of Krishna and separation from Krishna, just like the Bhagavatam. So therefore, if some Bhagavatam verse is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this means that it's very important for us as devotees to know, because this book was compiled. This is the essence. Everything in this book is very important. Not only the teachings of the Chaitanya Charitamrita by itself, but the references which he cites and quotes. For example, Lord Chaitanya quotes the verse from the Brihadnaradiya Purana. So there aren't that many Puranas quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but this one is quoted two or three times. Lord Chaitanya himself is speaking this verse. Hari Naam, Hari Naam, Hari Naam Eva Kevalam, Kalo and Esteva, 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 Gatiranyata. And Kali, there's no other way to attain spiritual perfection but chanting Krishna's name. Hari Naam, Hari Naam, Hari Naam. This is the only way. So there's an example of a verse in Puranas. So Bhagavat Puran is also a Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the main reference source, because the Bhagavatam is is a Shastram Pramanam. Shastram Pramanam, Shastram Bhagavatam, Amalam Puranam. So the pure Purana of all Puranas is the Bhagavat Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's totally transcendental. So where, if when we read the CC, where that any verse is quoted once, now if that Bhagavatam verse is quoted once, twice, or three times in different parts of the CC, that means it's very important to memorize, to know this verse, to study this verse, and study the tikkas on this verse. In fact, I have so many ideas for things, but I had an idea to start running a series on most important verses based on this, what I'm telling you. I'm just sharing this as a tip with you, which I discovered, I don't know if you know, but one of my teachers told me. So, for example, I'm about to recite a verse from third canto Bhagavatam, chapter 25, verse 25, which glorifies sadhusanga and the experience of sadhusanga and the result of sadhusanga. Because your question is about sadhusanga, associating with those equal-minded devotees or those more advanced than I, or those that are a little less advanced or junior in their bhakti than I am. How to make that happen? So this verse is quoted twice in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and once in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So that means it's really important. Krishna's Kaviraj quotes it, and of course Srila Prabhupada himself quotes it also. Satam prasangan mama virya samvidho bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata tajjoshanat ash mupavarga vartmani shodha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Anukram. Krama means step. We say Trivikram, Upendra. Vamanadeva is called Trivikram. He took, Kram means steps, three means three. Three took three steps of land. This world, this universe, and the head of Bali Maharaj. So Krama, Anukrama means one step after the other. So first faith comes, and then attachment comes, and then bhakti comes, prema. Satam prasangan mama virya samvado. By the association, this is, I think, Prabhupada's translation. I rather like more, it's a little more. 325.25. I'll read this, because this other book I have. In the association of advanced devotees, the discussion of the pastimes and activities of Krishna is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. The ear and the heart become satisfied. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, or on the path of bhakti. Thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and bhakti begins. Satam. Satam means pure devotees. It means good devotees. Satam means serious devotees. Prasanga. Sangha means very close association. It means you're hearing together, you're chanting together, you're inquiring together, like this. Then what do they do when devotees come together? Mama virya samvad, bhavanti. Virya means vira ras, means heroism, means my powerful. Virya samvad. Vad means speech, like we say, maya vad. So vad means speech. Mama virya samvad. So all the talks about Krishna have very much power. My talks are full of virya, strength. And what happens? What is created? Rit means heart. Karna means ear. And rasayana kata. This is rasayana kata. It's medicinal. It's for the it's medicine and amrit, and gives life to the heart and the ears and mind. Tajjoshanad apavarga vartmani. And by cultivating and hearing Harikata with advanced devotees, one quickly advances on the path of liberation. In other words, he advances on the path of devotional service. He increases his faith. He increases his attachment and devotion to Krishna, one after the other. So this is a very nice verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 325.25. So when you when devotees come together, you mentioned the point about the mood of this mood of seva, the seva mood. But the actual criterion of association is that are we Krishna conscious right now? I used to say, I wrote one Vyasa Puja offering, that the devotee can measure the degree of his guru bhakti by this small practice. So he can say, would Gurudev be pleased with what I'm speaking right now? You understand? Would Gurudev be pleased with what I'm doing right now? Would Gurudev be pleased with what I'm thinking right now? And would Gurudev be pleased with what I'm desiring right now? And if the answer is yes, 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 then you're Krishna conscious. But I'm sitting here in front of the Krishna Balaram temple in public with a dhoti and neckbeads and tilak, and I'm just drinking a Coca-Cola and reading the newspaper. So as I often say, you look with your eyes, you can see many good examples of what not to do. Because we are, you know, our guru is judged, like they say, you can judge the tree by the quality of the fruits. If I get, you say, oh, I bought you some apples. I said, they're all rotten. Where you got them? Oh, I got them from this tree. Oh, this tree is diseased. All the apples on this tree are diseased. No, you cut off the bad parts. There's some good part also. I said, okay, but is there a better tree? So the devotee, he represents his guru and his parampara. And so, you know, would Advaita Acharya be pleased with me? This type of thing. So there's a very, very good checks and balance system. So you yourself have some hesitation. That's why you brought the question up. You have some doubt about, well, you know, we're joking around and this and that. Basically, this is the type of maya. Because we don't joke around. The devotees are quite sober and serious. There's 26 qualities of a devotee, and one of them is gravity, dhira. Like the six Goswamis are glorified by Srinivas Acharya. Dhira, dhira, jana, priyo, priyakaro. They are very sober and sense control. So we get together, we may tell some Sankirtan stories, and, you know, well, I gave this book to this person. And then we laugh because it's a funny story. I mean, devotees aren't robots. We laugh and we cry. And we have all the gamut of emotions. But at any time when you're laughing or joking, it should be, is Krishna here in the center of this discussion? And sometimes it's hard to find where is Krishna right now. So the tendency to lapse into old things, or that's why when you associate with devotees from the same location or even the same country, then you can sometimes slip into nationalism, talking about the country or talking about the sports you played, or the devotees walking on the street, or he sees some cricket match on TV, then he stops, then his friend sees that he stopped, so then they both stop, then they're saying, oh, look at that. You used to play cricket? Yeah, I used to play cricket. So they're in maya. So I always thought that the sharanagati is the measurement of bhakti. And Bhakti Sandarva, Jiva Goswami goes so far to say, which is quite correct, that bhakti means sharanagati. In 4:11 of Gita, Krishna says, "Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajamyam." As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So, sharanagati means that we accept everything. There are six symptoms of surrender, which are mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We accept everything which is favorable for Krishna consciousness, anukulyena sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. So, we're with some devotees, junior, equal, or senior, and we see something as we're not becoming joyful by that association. We're not progressing in our Krishna consciousness, and our Gurudev wouldn't be pleased with what's going on right now, and so this is not very favorable. So So that's where that's what it means. People say, what does it mean to surrender? How do you surrender to Krishna? Can you tell me how to surrender to Krishna? It means that you let go of Maya. It's like one time someone made an analogy. They talked about this Maya thing. So the person, he went to a big neem tree and he wrapped his arms around the neem tree. He's tightly holding the neem tree. And someone said, oh, I said, what are you doing? Oh, this tree is holding me. This tree is holding on to me. Won't let me go. I said, no, the tree's not holding. You're holding on to the tree. You just let your arms go. So this is Maya. We hold on to Maya and we say, oh, I'm not in Maya, but Maya's God is fully surrounding us, you know. So that we have to let go. That's what it means, surrender. Surrender means I let go of Maya. Because you'll have like a beeper, like they have these machines that have some kind of, they're metal detectors. So when you go through in the airport, if you have a gun on you, we go beep, 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 beep. You know, metal detector, the metal. You have a gun. As the gun's inside, you go through this, you go, there's some little thing like this, you walk through, and there's, you know, it's like this, and you walk through. So that's called metal detector. So if you're carrying any metal, beep, 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 beep. Oh, or this? So that makes a noise. So we should have a Maya detector. We should have a Maya detector inside our hearts and brains. So the sincere devotee will automatically, by the mercy of Guru, he has a Maya detector. Not a metal detector, but a Maya detector inside his brain and mind and heart. And the Maya detector is, oh, Krishna Anukulya, Krishna Pratikulya, Krishna. When it becomes Krishna Pratikulya, beep, 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 beep. When it's Krishna Anukulya, it's kirtan, it's bhajan, you're hearing lila, you're speaking lila, you're quoting verses, then you just pass through, no problem, no noise. But then you start joking about sports, or joking about your country, or joking about devotees, and it's all good fun, but even sometimes devotees tell jokes. They just tell jokes. And that's called frivolous sports. Like Prabhupada once he wrote in 1966, he wrote by hand. You've seen photocopies of this everywhere around the world. He said, oh, because the devotees were initiated in 1966 in Second Avenue, New York, and they didn't even know what it was. They sat for a fire yogi and they got initiated. And they didn't even know what really happened. So some of them went across the street after initiation. They were smoking a cigarette. Some were eating some donuts made with eggs. So then Prabhupada wrote out the rules. He said, all initiated devotees must follow these rules. And he wrote down, no frivolous sports, just playing around, joking, telling jokes. No gambling, this, that, the other thing. No meat, fish, eggs, all these things he wrote down. Because that wasn't there in the beginning. Then he said, and always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he wrote out Hare Krishna, whole mantra. And that's by hand. And people photocopy that and put it up on the bulletin boards of temples. Have you ever seen? It's a famous thing. So there he's saying, no frivolous sports. Like, don't, tell jokes. Because I know sometimes people tell me jokes, and I just, because I, you know, they're already into it. I want to tell you a joke. So I should be more Krishna conscious. No, I just tell about Krishna. I'll tell me some stupid joke. So that's where there's a choice. Beep, 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 or no beep. You surrender, and he wants to tell a joke, and then you can be in Maya and listen to the joke and laugh also, because it's funny. It's a funny joke, but it has nothing to do with Krishna and does not promote your cause towards liberation, and your Gurudev wouldn't be pleased, and it's not Krishna Anukulya. So you're not surrendering. So when you find yourself not surrendering, then you know that you're not in Krishna consciousness, you're in Maya. And oftentimes if someone's very strict and always talking about Krishna, people say, oh, why don't you relax, you know, lighten up, you know, you're too serious. So that's unfortunate. But that's why, you know, people that are very serious about bhakti, then they don't get married, you know, because they don't want to be distracted. They don't want to be distracted because they may not be that serious, and if they get married, then the wife or husband, either one, if they're not very serious, then they may joke around. So that's their problem they have to work out. But when we go, husbands and wives may joke around and be in Maya a lot of the times. Prabhupada even once made a comment. He said, He said, spiritual life and marriage go ill together. So it's not so, it's very difficult. Ill means it's difficult. It's very difficult to make spiritual advancement when you're married for various reasons. Time, no time because of family and work. One thing is no time, or just some maya. So many practical reasons, which a lot of impediments automatically increase. The impediments and obstacles automatically increase rather than decrease when one gets married. The impediments and obstacles to remaining Krishna conscious. But most people have to be married, so they have to work all that out in the context of marriage, try to pull it out and be Krishna conscious. It's a very difficult thing. So now that's okay, you're a grihastha, but now when you're with others that are devotees, that's what it says in the Sangha should be Harikata, Rasayana Kata, it should be Rasayana, Ritkarna Rasayana, it should be nectar for the ears. It's not that we only go to the temple and hear a good class from some advanced devotee, and then we feel nectar, we feel inspired in bhakti, then we come home and then we chuck and jive, as they say. Chuck and jive means we goof off or we let loose. Can you imagine the Brijbasis that we're emulating? Not one second goes by when they're not thinking of the happiness of Radha and Krishna. Not one second. This is the standard of perfection, the standard of excellence. The standard of excellence is the gopis of Vrindavan and Nandabhava and Yashoda and Sridham Tsubo. They're the Ragatmika Bhaktas. They're totally attached to Krishna in a most fervent and devoted way. So they're our role models. We try to be like them. It says that the six Goswamis, that's why we read about their biographies and hear about their lives. Raghunath Das Goswami, 24, he was 22 and a half hours a day, he was fully doing Krishna bhajan. And 1.5 hours a day he was resting. And even when he was so-called sleeping or resting, he was dreaming and meditating on Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So that's the highest ideal that we try to follow in his footsteps. We can't do Anukaran, we can't imitate Rupa and Raghunath, but we can try to follow in their footsteps and be as detached as we possibly can and always be Krishna conscious. Generally, this Sangha, in the Kali Yuga, the power and the glory of Sadhu Sangha, it's always the same. But it becomes very, very difficult in this age to find any serious, deeply serious and sincere devotees. So that's why oftentimes if one is single, then he stays alone mostly and occasionally hears lectures by great devotees. And it's a little bit of a solitary, maybe even a sad life, you could say. But nothing you have to sacrifice to gain the joy and the bliss and happiness of self-realization and entering the spiritual world. You may have to live a life of struggle. Because being a devotee or a yogi is a life of struggle. We have our high points of happiness and joy, but at the same time it's a lot of struggle. It's a struggle. If you're single as a devotee, it's a struggle. If you're married, it's also a struggle. In the ancient times, everything was better, the food, the air, the water, the devotees, the quality of devotees, the quality of sangha, everything was better. There was not so many disturbances and distractions and millions of other interests. It was just devotion, hearing, chanting, remembering, speaking about Krishna. Simple living and high thinking. But now we're bombarded with Facebook accounts and email and websites and so many these things that are somewhat, you can say, related. They're bhava sambandhi. They're related to the goal of Krishna consciousness, but they may not be that Krishna conscious. I mean, I saw, you know, there's Facebooks where devotees, they're showing that they're very ordinary people, and that's all right. They should be ordinary people. But seems odd. Sometimes it looks odd, you know, how it all fits together. That devotee on his Facebook, it's not. Sometimes Facebooks of devotees don't look very Krishna conscious. There's some things about Krishna, but then there's some things about their family. Or what's very popular is devotees show pictures when they were young. Here's me when I was 10. Here's me when I was 14. Or here's my baby pictures. Now, what does that have to do with Krishna consciousness? It's all about me consciousness. It's all about profit, adoration, distinction. Because someone will look and say, oh, you were so cute. And you'll feel good because you got a compliment. So when the attention is on me and the praise is mine, then I'm in Maya. As our attention of all devotees, we should be attentively focused on Krishna and his pleasure and his happiness and his praises, Uttama Shloka, his glorification. So this Facebook is actually, many places these Facebook and emails and rapid communication is just an opportunity to space out and be in Maya. It's a very difficult thing to utilize an individual, you know, we don't have individual Facebook ourselves. It's a public page or whatever you call it. So, because I was telling someone, I said to one person, I said, oh, I saw this Krishnadas's Facebook. It's really Krishna conscious. Yeah, but did you see his, have you ever seen his private one? I said, what do you mean private? I didn't know about that. He said, yeah, he has another one. And he said, you're the guru, but you saw the official one, but he has a private one with a different name. I said, oh, sure. So that's a whole secret. So you can fool, you know, you can never fool God. That's the thing. So who are you fooling? I mean, who are you cheating? Or who are you getting over on? This secret Facebook and private Facebook. But devotee, what is private about a devotee? He's supposed to be transparent. What you see is what you get. So that's called the Maya page. There's the Maya page, there's the Maya Facebook, and the Krishna Facebook. So what does that mean? That means you're double-faced. I don't know if you know what that means, but in America, double-faced means, oh, hi, Pranabal, how are you doing? Then you meet somebody, ah, Pranabal, he's a jerk, you know, this guy, you know, stupid, you know. That. And then you hear that, then when you meet him, he's, oh, this guy, he says one thing, he does another thing, or he says one thing in front of me, another thing when I'm not there. Double-faced, you know, double. So, hi, I'm Krishna conscious. See my Facebook, Krishna Das. Oh, wow, here's Gurudev's lecture and Prabhupada's pictures. Oh, 3,000 likes. Oh, that's nice. And you look at the private one. It's all jokes, pictures of his dog, pictures of his surfboard. You know. Well, you should live a renounced life, you know. So you come to the devotee's house, he's got 25 heaters, 15 air conditioners, you know, three private cooks, you know. One, a private masseuse, you know, okay, maybe he's a king or something, what can you do? But it's okay to be a devotee and live like a king if that's your standard. All right, Yudhisthira is a king. But, you know, you don't go around preaching renunciation. You preach Krishna bhakti and depend on Krishna, whatever. But. So I think this devotee thing is really a problem. What I have found, the devotional atmosphere amongst devotees has really degenerated. In my 42 years of being around some popular institutions and just even living a large amount of time outside the direct institutions, I find that the quality of Sangha and the number of people that are serious about Krishna consciousness is way down. When I joined, every single devotee was busy memorizing verses and reading and discussing Bhagavatam chapters. Very serious and sober, scholastic, and really Krishna conscious atmosphere. Oh, Prabhu, we use this term, Prabhu, whatever. Oh, Krishna, I learned this verse, a really nice verse. What's that verse? Oh, listen to this verse. Now I never hear anybody speaking any verses or anything. Well, it's Leela, Astakali, Leela. Okay. But no one knows, you know, one verse from the Bhagavad Gita or verses from the Bhagavatam or verses from Brahma's prayers. Brahma's prayers in chapter 14, Brahma's Stuti, a 10th canto, they're considered some of the most important devotional prayers. That is extensive commentaries on these prayers. Oh, this is some prayers. I don't want to see that. I just read a Rasa Leela. Tatenu kampam sushamikshamano banjana evatmana kritam vipakam ridvagva pubir vidadan namaste jivete yomukti pade sadaya bhak. This is from Brahmastuti, 10th canto, chapter 14. And he's saying, it's a very important verse of Madhurya and also Aishwarya, of majesty and sweetness, and a verse of surrender and karma and tolerance, a very important verse of bhakti. He said, oh, Krishna, the devotee, he will suffer the results of his previous karma and bad activities. Whatever comes to him, whatever good or whatever suffering comes, he it won't affect him. He'll tolerate it. He'll tolerate it all and continue to serve you with body, mind, ridvag, ridvag, vapubira vedadan namaste. Ridvag, vag means words, rid means heart. Ridvag, vapu, vapu means body, vapu, tanu or vapu. With his body, mind, and words, he'll continue praising you and continue glorifying you, even though he's suffering, cancer or dying, whatever. He'll never give it up. And if he does like this, jivete yo mukti pade sadayabhak, that this person, he inherits, he gets inheritance from Krishna. Krishna awards him the kingdom of God. He goes to Krishna by tolerating all difficulties and always being Krishna conscious, body, mind, and words. So this is a very, very important verse. It's quoted everywhere. And, by acharyas, and that's in Brahmastuti.